The sermon this evening is from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting with verse 13. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting with verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 at verse 13. A poor yet wise lad is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction. For he has come out of prison to become king, even though he was born poor in his kingdom. I have seen all the living under the sun throng to the side of the second lad who replaces him. There is no end to all the people, to all who were before them, and even the ones who will come later will not be happy with him. For this too is vanity and striving after the wind. Pray with me. Our Father, please bless us and help us as we come to your word, as you yourself have proclaimed, is life and it is truth. Help us now to understand the applications for our own lives, that you will be most glorified in our lives. Please help us now to know you and to know your will for us, for your name's sake. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at our lives, there are always people giving us information, and there are always people giving us instruction. Here we have this picture of an old king and a young man who is poor. This is an extreme example set up as who will be the one who is wise, who is the one who will persevere. If you imagine a king in this day, you would have someone adorned beautifully. You would have someone on a throne. You would have someone with soldiers and guards. You would have someone adorned in gold with a crown and a cape. His garb could fill up the area where he sat. And then you have the opposite of this majestic older man. You have a poor boy. And now as you would look at the two of those, you would ask the question, or maybe you would ask the question, which one is better? Which one would you prefer? Well, here, the value of the one is not based on his gold. The value of the one is not based on his status. The value is placed on the one who actually has wisdom. Now, we understand from Scripture that wisdom is given from God. It's this principle of understanding what really is. The ways to move forward, the ways that will be effective, the ways that things that we will do and the things that will last rather than the things that we will build and they will be done away with. We look at our lives and all of us have the problem of not wanting to hear instruction. In my life, I've had the blessing recently of working my job with the arborist. The funny thing is, this man has been doing this work for 25 years. Normally, in every area of my life, I am at least a peer. Usually, I have levels of responsibility where I am. In my house, I'm a husband. In my house, I'm a father. Here, I'm your pastor. Even at Presbytery, I'm an elder. I have jobs to do and responsibilities. It was this wonderful place for me to be taken, set where I am the inferior. I had so much less responsibility there. All I had to do was listen and do what I was told. This idea of superiors and inferiors is hard for man to get our head around, and it's hard for us to accept that there are people in our lives that are superior to us. People are superior in different ways. There's offices that we have been given. In an office, you have a responsibility in that office. You have a work and a job to do in that office. And in my life, in all of our lives, we are inferiors in different places. So we have this job, and please don't take offense at the idea that there are superiors and inferiors. People have jobs and responsibilities that have been given to them by Christ Jesus, and they're the ones who are going to be held accountable for what they have done or what they have not done. Now, in this position, as we look at this, we have this king who is a superior, And yet we're being told that the younger, poor one is better than him. He is superior in a way because he has wisdom. The problem with the king is he won't listen. He won't listen to instruction. He won't listen to wisdom. In each of our lives, we are in a place where we are going to need to listen to people who are inferior to us in various ways. Or we are foolish. This king is put on the bottom rung. How much more so, you and me, if we will not listen to wisdom that is brought to us. So the call for you this evening is to listen to the voices of the young and the poor. Our first step, number one, is receive instruction. It's a challenge for every single one of us to receive instruction. Verse 13, a poor yet wise lad is better than an old foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction. Psalm 32, 8 and 9, which we had sung recently, we were given the idea that we are given instruction, we are to listen, and that's where we were told, don't be like a horse or a stupid mule that won't listen, that won't come near unless the bit and bridle is placed upon them. James 1:19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. The posture of our lives is supposed to be to listen, to receive the instructions that we are given, not to become angry when we are given instruction, not to become angry when we are told what to do, as if we're going to lose something that we have gained. When I was a younger man and we were picking Nathaniel's name, we picked his name for a couple of reasons. One is I see myself as a David character, quick to fight, wanting to fight, wanting to be a champion. And I looked at the scripture where Nathan the prophet had come to David and had given him the instruction. He had put the giant slayer in his place. And I thought, I'm going to need a Nathan from time to time in my life. So this posture of receiving instruction is necessary. Our first step, our second step rather, is don't discount the voice of the poor in your life. Again, a poor yet wise lad is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction. Poor. Poor in what sense? Just having less than you or being less than you. Someone can come to you and someone could be a part of your life that is inferior to you in 9 out of 10 ways. There's a sad place and this bad place that all of us come to. There was someone in my life and in the life of my family that I interpreted this person as dysfunctional. Someone that did not function and therefore I had little to no use for them. And I was actively offended by this person daily. When I consulted an older elder on the subject, he said, yeah, once someone is dysfunctional in your sight, they can't even wipe their nose right. That we look at them as utterly and completely failing, as if they could never and would never have anything to offer to us. This picture of the one who is poor, we're just going to say they are inferior to you or they are less than you. And they are so possibly in every way. Even if they're less than you in 9 out of 10 ways and you have labeled them dysfunctional in your sight, that one way in which they come to you and speak to you, you still need to be quick to hear. Quick to hear the instruction that they would bring and to analyze it and to see is what they're saying in accordance with love. The first tablet of the law is what they're saying in accordance with love for God and love for Christ. Is what they're saying in accordance with love for my neighbor, even if they're dysfunctional across the board. We would still hear instructions of love that come from Scripture and apply it, or we are those old fools who no longer know how to receive instruction. I complimented I'll go back to my arborist friend. He lives in a treehouse. It's not even a treehouse that's been designed for someone to actively live in. It's a child's treehouse. He does this on purpose to save his money and to use it for other things. One day we were talking and I described him. I said, "You've taught me a lot about patience," as he will work diligently to get a job done correctly. If it means moving a 150-pound boulder 10 times, he will move it that 10th time just to move it a quarter of an inch to make things look right. Well, one day he shot back at me. He said, "Well, I don't know if it's a good idea for you to have a homeless guy as a role model in your life." And I responded, "Jesus was a homeless guy." That Jesus would have been easy to look at and discount. This guy doesn't even have a house. Why would we listen to him? Why would we take instruction from him? We understand, according to Matthew 6:19, we are not to store up treasure for ourselves on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you look at someone and they're less, maybe they're less than you for good reasons. Maybe their priorities have been placed in other places. Maybe their priorities have been better than yours. And that's why they have not excelled in the ways that you have excelled. Our next step, number 3, is don't discount the voice of the young. Again, verse 13. A poor yet wise lad is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction. We sang Psalm 8 this evening because we see that in Psalm 8 that God uses the voice of the children to silence the voice of the enemies. That God does work and God does speak even through the youngest of us to proclaim praise and to proclaim truth. Matthew 11:25-26. "In that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleasing in your sight.'" 1 Timothy 4:12. "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself as an example of those who believe." So we don't discount the voice of the young, and with the young we would still be taking into account and considering, are they actually speaking in accordance with love for God and love for our neighbor? Now, we can jump and we could look at other passages of Scripture where it describes that we are supposed to honor our elders. And that's true. We're not supposed to be rude. We're not supposed to be disrespectful to our elders. We are told to honor our fathers and our mothers. And we could take that and take it more broadly, that we are to honor all of the superiors in our lives. And we do that with humility and we approach those situations with caution. Now, our fourth step, and there's a danger here. Our fourth step is, you may yet be undone by your pride. Verse 15. "I have seen all the living under the sun throng to the side of the second lad who replaces him." So King Solomon was looking and he has seen in the world a young person rise up who is wise. He has seen a king who has been on the throne for an extended period of time. And all the young people wanted a change. They liked the voice of the young man, and it rose up and it got to the place where the king was overthrown and the king was undone. Everybody wanted the young man. This is a cycle in life. This is a cycle that happens. When I came here, I was a younger man. I'm going to be an older man as time goes on. Eventually, if things go naturally the way that has here, younger people may want to start listening to someone who is young, someone who understands them more, someone that they get along with better, someone who speaks their language more clearly. It is a cycle of life that we are not to... We can't completely throw it off and completely ignore it. It's the way things are going to go. Our children, when my kids were younger, I was a hero in their sight, and I could do no wrong. Their dad was the strongest person around. Their dad was the strongest person they knew. May have been the most righteous person they knew. They saw me stand up before the congregation and boldly proclaim the word of God. Then as time has gone on, they've seen my shortcomings, they've seen my failings, they've seen my failures. They know that I am not perfect. And they will, as time goes on, start to develop their own thoughts and their own plans and their own ideas. That's the way of things. Life changes and life goes through cycles. So our fifth step, as this will be the reality, is don't get hung up on the battles. Verse 16 describes that will be the natural way of life. This is the way things will go. Verse 16, there is no end to all the people, to all who were before them, and even the ones who will come later will not be happy with him. For this too is vanity and striving after the wind. This isn't a new thing. Watch any movie, or don't watch any movie from the 60s. You watch these tales and these accounts of the young people who rose up and they looked and they saw the older people as old fools. And there was a time for change and a time to change things. My generation rose up to deal with those people who were the young, wise people in the 60s to take a new stand or to make a change. These things will happen. Now, what is the posture of us who are older? We see in the first verse that we are to listen. We are to listen to the young. We are to hear their perspective. What instruction do we see for the young? If we move back to 1 Samuel chapter 25, I've long loved the posture of Abigail because she was the one that was able to stop the hand of the giant slayer. King David, who could run through a troop and leap over a wall, who could strike down many, who was the champion, who was the king. He had slayed his thousands, his 10,000s. He was amazing and brilliant and beautiful and strong. But the one who came in humility was able to get him to do the right thing. So although we will have our tensions between generations, we who are old and older, we who are, air quotes, superiors, not in value, but in experience, and superiors in office and the responsibilities, as we will give an account for the ways that we handle ourselves, our jobs as husbands, wives, fathers, officers within the church, we are brought to that place where, in humility, we are still to be quick to hear, to listen for wisdom coming from the youth, to analyze and to carefully consider the things that are said, to see if they are actually in accordance with love. The first tablet of the law, see if the things they're saying is in accordance with love for God, in accordance with love for our neighbor. That we will stand in this beautiful place and we won't be divided over a period of time. There's that tragic situation. I've seen it a lot in churches that divide for worship. They start their junior church and they have their junior church going on, or they have their youth group going on. And then there's this tension and this division as the younger people think we would rise up and we would do these good things that the older people will not do. It's something we've avoided and we continue to avoid in this congregation, to divide us by generation. But the goal and what we shoot for and what we work together for is that we would be together as a congregation. We would be sharpening one another as iron sharpens iron. We would humbly listen and receive instruction, humbly listen for wisdom, again, in accordance with love for God and love for our neighbors. So as we work together, and this comes to our sixth step, yield to eternal wisdom wherever it comes from. There will be those dysfunctional people in your life that still speak truth. That still speak eternal wisdom. I stand as an example before you. As a dysfunctional person, I'm sure we could find countless ways that you, each one of you, are superior to me. And yet I stand before you as one called of God to speak the truth to you in love, to proclaim the gospel to you week after week, to explain the ways that God has loved us and to explain the ways that we are to love God. And if we can be a people who are quick to hear, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, remembering and receiving the truth that the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God, we will be in a much better place together, growing together. Able to receive one another. Able to receive and to give eternal truth to one another as we carefully weigh each instruction given. That we will apply wisdom. Apply love to God. And apply love to our neighbors. Receive wisdom. Receive instruction. Wherever it comes from. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have ordained truth and that you speak truth and praise even from the mouths of infants to silence your enemies. Father, may we be those who are humble in our own sight, that we will hear instruction, that we will hear wisdom, and that we will receive it in love. Father, help us as a congregation, help us as individuals to hear your truth and to apply your truth, that we will be one body, being strengthened together in accordance with what each part provides, that we as a church, we will catch a stride together, advancing from strength to strength, each of us being held on to and loved and supported and strengthened. We thank you, God, that this is your good plan for us. This is your will for your church, that we will attain to the maturity and attain to the fullness of Christ together. As you have supplied each member of our church, Lord, please bless us and help us again move from strength to strength for you and for your namesake. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.